Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
We have what could potentially be the most awkward behind the mic of all time. Of all time.
See, this makes me nervous.
Girls,
what? You don't know what it is.
As long as it's not me, I'm cool with it.
We'll find out shortly. We got a couple text messages.
I don't know either.
You can always text the show. It's the same phone number we have.
800-543-3548.
Instead of calling, just text.
Just text.
I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say
it. You're fine.
This embarrassing stuff is supposed to be at the office Christmas party, not on the air.
Oh, it's going to be on the air. But a couple text messages. Hashtag Jenna finally trapped the man.
Duh, man.
Jenna finally trapped a man.
Are you pregnant, too?
Oh, I wish. I mean, I wish I had
trapped
a man.
Pregnant.
No, I don't wish I was pregnant. I don't want that in my life right now.
Hasn't trapped them yet. We're waiting for Dubai, where they're going.
Yeah.
Dubai is where people get engaged.
I'm not the trap type like that. I don't feel like I would be considered, it wouldn't be trapping a guy. He should be so lucky.
She's my trap queen.
There you go.
You know?
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
Is that what a trap queen is? You trapped a man?
No. It's a whole different thing.
No. This one's from Eric. I feel like Big Al looks like Cedric the Entertainer. Never seen a pic of y'all. Am I right, Al?
There's probably a picture of me and him after somewhere. So I'm not Cedric the Entertainer, but I have driven him.
I don't think you guys look alike.
I have chauffeured him, Mr. Cedric the Entertainer.
You're really, smaller, really nice dude. Smaller, right?
Yeah, dude's about...
he's shorter and...
Yeah. Five... Bigger. I don't know, 10 or something.
Eric, if you haven't seen a picture of Big Al, I'd say you do look a little bit like Common.
Really?
The rapper.
Oh, like Common.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's why I'm growing the old beard.
She said,
I want you to look more like Common. Please grow a beard, and I have not shaved since.
You look like him.
Well, thank you.
Success.
Thank you. Success, yeah.
So we told you there's a startup that will give couples $10,000 for their wedding.
Okay.
But they're calling this casino for marriages.
Hold on.
Oh, is that Kelly? Is Kelly going to have to take a lap? Who texted you? Who texted you?
No, foot's hurting.
Might be a man.
Is it a man?
It might be.
Well, you got to share it with the glass now.
That's an early man text.
Yeah, that's really early.
Some men get up early.
Hey, how do I lock your door, Kelly?
How do I get
the
garage
security code?
What's your security code? Yeah. So anyways, this startup wants to give couples $10,000 for the wedding, but...
Well, he wants to give people $10,000.
It's a Seattle startup. It's about to offer a way for couples to gamble on whether or not they really found everlasting love. So, they will give you $10,000 that go towards your wedding. If you and your spouse live happily ever after, you never have to pay back the money. It's yours.
Okay.
Never have to think about it again. But if you someday get divorced, you have to pay back the original amount plus interest based on how long you've been together.
What's the interest rate?
Does not believe in marriage, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's how they're going to be making money.
Yeah, you can't believe in marriage and have this company.
Yeah.
That's the only way they get paid.
So who pays the money back? I mean...
The couple.
The couple does.
Well, you're divorced. So does the man pay half? The woman pay half?
Yeah, you would have to probably work that out when you get that.
And the flaw should be interest that increases over time, but that would be a more successful marriage. So it should start off high and then decrease, right?
Yeah.
The longer you stay together.
They say his company is going to look at the statistics. They're going to survey potential couples and give higher interest rates to the stronger relationships in order to protect themselves as a company. So the stronger they deem your relationship to be, the higher your interest rate will be. If they think you're probably not going to last, they'll give you a lower interest rate.
If they think you're not
going to last.
That doesn't seem like the best business plan.
I don't get it. Like, how enforceable is it? You know, like,
well, you're signing a contract.
It's enforceable.
When you sign a loan contract,
it's an unsecured loan. They can't go and repossess your marriage.
But
they could take your property,
your assets.
They could go,
I mean,
you
just like
a contract.
They would do with anything else.
Yeah. But he just wants to raise the question: should we be getting married if we're not willing to sign up? So he's trying to help people, trying to help couples.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck, Holmes.
So they started
coming from the right place.
They're called Swan Love. That's the startup. They're taking applications now, and hopefully they'll start making payments this February.
Swan Love.
They just got to raise money. Swan Love.
They have to raise money to give away.
If you need to take a loan out against your marriage to have a wedding, I wouldn't do it.
I would have taken it. I would have taken the $10,000. I feel like we're good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody starts out thinking that they're not good.
Exactly.
I mean,
no, some people do.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are walking down the aisle thinking, oh, I shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And they tell you before the game, but they know that they shouldn't be doing it, and they still do it.
Yeah, and then the groomsmen are back in some private room betting on how long it's going to last.
Oh, yeah.
That's at every
time. That happens every time. Yeah.
Just telling.
Would you take the loan, Kelly?
No, I don't need the money.
Boom! Drop the mic.
Mic drop.
Boom!
Speaking of mics, it's time for possibly one of the most awkward behind the mics we've had on this show.
Behind the mic is...
Yes, please explain what that is.
Well, it's when we're usually taping something for an affiliate or commercial or whatever, and so these are not on the air, and then we something funny happens,
yes,
and we all kind of crack up, but nobody knows about it other than the three, four people in the room.
Yeah.
So we tape these things to embarrass that said show member
and
later.
And that's the thing you need to ask yourself. Is it worth the price to be paid after embarrassing this person?
Uh-oh.
Is it going to make them angry?
Uh-oh.
Is it going to hurt somebody's feelings? Kelly's, I don't know what this is.
Kelly is speaking about herself.
Yeah, yeah. This is a Kelly.
I don't know what this is.
And this is right off the bat on a Monday, which means we have the rest of the week to like really...
At least we're not doing it on Friday before we leave for the rest of the year.
That's the last thing you remember.
That'd be preferable, though, because then if it's about you and you're mad, then you're gone.
We were going to do it on Friday.
I don't know. I question the wisdom behind this.
We were going to do it on Friday.
No.
We ran out of time because it's Big Al's big celebration, so there's no way to fit it in. So we're going to do it today. I was the victim of the last behind the mic.
It's simple when you're just mispronouncing a word. Come on.
Auld Lang Syne, that song.
Auld Lang Syne. How can you show your face in public?
I went home and I cried.
It's so offensive.
You did not.
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne. Auld Lang Syne. Nobody knows that.
Is the man that just texted you listening to the show right now?
I don't know. Are you listening? Text me back if you're
listening. Are you guys ready to find out who is the star of this behind the mic that is extremely awkward?
By the way, you're not looking
at
Kelly.
I look at Kelly all day.
You know what it is?
What's up? Have a feeling it's Kelly or myself, but
it's me. I
think it's Kelly.
I'm looking at it, so yes, I know who is star of this one.
You really need to think twice before you press that button.
What if I don't hit the button? What if I tell Shannon to hit the button?
Because your Christmas present is really nice.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Now she's holding hostage. Now it's extortion.
My hands are up in the air.
Uh-oh. Shannon?
Shannon, can you please give us the behind the mic?
Oh, man.
You got a really cute something weird.
Could this be like...
Here we go.
Morning show. Behind the mic.
I'm a little gassy, I'll be honest. I ate too much.
They're getting comfortable.
I haven't done anything.
You're gassy?
I haven't done anything. I'm just saying.
It's been 20 years. We've never done that. But if you're going to start.
I've never done that in front of you, have I?
If you're going to start.
You're going to gas over there?
I'm just telling you.
Gassy.
I'm just telling you.
It's too much love.
If you're going to start.
Crop dust out.
In 20 years, we've never done that to
you. I've never done that to you.
But if you're going to start that.
The trumpet section.
I'm going to finish it. That's all I want you to do.
What does that mean?
Are you gassy too?
I'm just saying.
No, you're gassy too?
I'm not.
So we got the clarinet and the trombone over here.
I'm not. But.
But how are you going to finish if you're not gassy?
But I have walked out of the room before and then come back.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You get the drift.
Yeah, of course I do. Not only do I get his prop dust and the door pushes it back in even more.
Did Al just? Yep, he did.
I have done that.
I've never left the room to toot.
I've left the room.
I know that Al farts in that bathroom when he goes to pee. Because when I go in there to pee, sometimes I'm like,
my heaven. My heaven.
And then I don't want the person after me to think I was like farting
that's the worst.
Peeing.
Everybody thinks it's you.
Yeah. You just got to do
this. We've had conversations about you, Jenna.
Jenna,
what did Jenna eat?
What did Jenna eat?
I'm not very gassy.
It's them goji berries.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show. Behind the mic.
All right, that's not too bad. That's not too bad.
Oh, my God.
I'm not that upset.
It's cute, Kelly.
It could have gone worse.
Everyone toots.
Well, and sometimes you're gassy, but I, unlike some people, can control it.
Al.
Control it? I go outside. Go out. If you ever see me like outside running up and down a little breeze right here by the canal, that's probably why.
We've never seen you running up and down by the canal.
Just go inside. Oh, there you are running by. That's probably what happened.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh,
that was good.
Behind the mic.
That was good. That was during our Dish Nation taping segment.
Behind the mic. That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't too bad.
No.
I thought it was hilarious.
Hey, we'll tell you the best city to spend New Year's Eve at. And it's actually going to surprise you because it's not one you would expect. And then We're gonna tell you, we're gonna give you details on how you could win a trip to that said city.
Really?
And spend New Year's Eve there. That's all coming up next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Kelly, you may want to avoid the post office today.
I don't plan on going today, but I do need to get a box to mail some stuff.
Okay.
Today is a busy day.
Yeah, the Postal Service predicts that today is going to be the busiest mailing and shipping day for holiday packages, letters, and cards.
Okay. I see that.
It's supposed to be the busiest day online, with more than 7 million customers predicted to visit USPS.com.
It's getting down to crunch time now.
Yeah.
If you're getting stuff things shipped, you really are. So,
make
up your mind. Let's go.
You want deadlines for major shipping services?
Yeah.
Sure.
The Postal Service says December 15th is the last day they recommend you use standard shipping.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow for regular shipping. Okay.
Yeah, so December 19th is the last day for first class mail.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
December 21st for priority mail. And December 23rd for Priority Mail Express.
That's it. You ain't done about December 23rd.
Yeah.
Let me write that on my list. I got a little box. A little box.
The UPS, December 18th, is the last day to ship the three-day select. If you want packages to be delivered before Christmas, because that's when you need them.
Yeah.
And then FedEx, December 16th, is the last day to ship FedEx Ground if you want it delivered by Christmas Day.
So get it done. Get it done this week.
It's getting busy.
Yeah.
Or do online shopping. Sometimes that's easier.
Uh-huh.
And also, if you want to find 2015's best and worst cities to celebrate New Year's Eve, Wallet Hub compared the 100 most populated cities.
Jason, what's the title of this song real quick?
Oh, I will tell you. I have a clip of it.
No, tell
us. Auld Lang Syne.
What is it, though?
Auld Lang Syne?
Close.
Old?
Yeah, old is fine.
Old.
It's Auld or something.
Auld Lang Syne.
We say Auld. Right.
Yeah.
Auld Lang
Syne. People just say Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang
Syne. Auld.
I just learned the name of this song.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Back to this survey of the cities, the best and worst cities to celebrate New Year's Eve.
Auld Lang Syne is my favorite song for New Year's.
Okay.
So while they have compared the 100 most populated cities on everything from the legality of fireworks to the average price of a New Year's Eve party ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They also threw in the forecasted rain and snow on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So for best weather, affordability, and legality of
fireworks.
Explosions.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Legality of explosions.
Out of 100 cities.
Out of 100 cities, most people think New York City, right?
Yeah, or Vegas.
Or Vegas.
Expensive, though.
Expensive. Those did not come in at number one.
Really?
What did?
A city that we actually just visited recently came in at number one, and that city is Orlando, Florida.
Wow.
Really?
Orlando is the best city to celebrate New Year's Eve.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlando's great, but I never would have thought that.
So, the Kid Craddock Morning Show wants you to start your New Year's off with a bang at the Omni Orlando Resort.
Okay.
At Champions Gate. So, here's what it is. It's a trip for four. For four. I know.
Well, that's couple stuff. That'd be fun.
We're calling it Two Pair Don't Care.
Two Pair Don't Care.
Two Pair Don't Care. What we want you to do is tell us in 100 words or less who you would take and why you would take those people. Mm-hmm. It can be two couples, four girlfriends, four dudes, whatever.
Okay. Whatever combo, okay.
Could it be
two pair.
Three girls and one guy?
It could be three girls. If you're a dude, and you win it, three girls.
Yeah.
You can take whatever you want. Two pair, don't care. Here's what you win. You win the Sweet 16 Cabana package, including two-bedroom deluxe suite accommodations.
Okay.
Access to the exclusive sparkling New Year's Eve party. And a private cabana to enjoy fireworks and champagne for four.
Champagne.
Okay, so all you have to do is just creatively tell us who you would be taking with you
and why. And why. 100 words or less.
Go to kidnation.com and do that.
I mean, that's like a tweet, basically.
It could be a funny reason. It could be something pulling out the heartstrings. Doesn't matter.
Characters and words are completely different, everybody.
Yeah, it's close.
I just realized that. You can enter to win right now at KidNation.com, and we're going to announce the winner on Friday morning, which is the Big Al Mac finale show.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. Al is not coming back.
I can sound like I'm dying, dude.
It's a goodbye show.
Well, we are celebrating Al's 20 years on the show. We don't know exactly the date he started because he was just kind of here one day and kids started paying him. So we're going to make this Friday the unofficial anniversary.
Year. I mean, this is the 20th year. We just don't exactly know, like Kelly said. What,
like we probably already passed it?
I didn't really have a start date.
I was doing commercials.
I would come into the studio when I first started. I wasn't even a DJ. I just owned a limousine service.
Yeah, you're an entrepreneur.
And I would hear these other guys advertising their businesses, doing live commercials. I said, I could do that. So I would call Kid on the phone, and we'd do a 60-second commercial. And then I was like a mile away, so sometimes I would just come by the studio, and I would do my commercial in the studio with Kid and Kelly. And that's how I began on the radio. And I would stick around. They're like, hey, help us out with this, blah, blah, blah.
And you had weird promotions, which is probably what got you the job.
Probably so. I mean, I did a number of different things. Like I said, going to the mall and dropping people off. But the one thing was this guy would always call me up in September, October. He said, man, I need you to buy some hams. And I'm like, I don't want to buy any hams. But he would call me almost every day. Hey, you want to buy hams for your employees? So finally, I said.
How do you get rid of them hams?
Yeah, yeah, I finally said yes, just to get him to stop calling me. I said, yes, sir, please give me 20 hams and I will give them away somehow. And so I came up with this promotion. Dinner, it was ladies' night. Wednesday night, dinner for four at this restaurant.
Okay.
And 4 hours of limousine service and a free ham. And I had Kid, Flake Boy was on the show at the time. And I said, Flake Boy, can you make a pig sound effect? He did. He did the snort. I can't do it.
You were doing them live, too.
And I said, do you have a gunshot sound effect? Yes, I do. Okay, so I'm doing a commercial. Hey, first impression limousine service, pig sound effect, pig sound effect. If you would like 4 hours of limousine service, dinner for four at this restaurant, pig sound effect, gunshot, and a free ham, no more pig sound effect. This is true.
And so you killed a pig on your commercial.
I did.
Yeah.
And I said, and a free ham. So this commercial turned into be like, well, 5 minutes or so, Kelly. We talked to her. Kelly said one of the most prolific, she asked me one of the most prolific questions ever. She goes,
nobody said a word the whole time.
She goes, what are the girls supposed to do with the ham while they're in the club?
Yeah, and the non-refrigerated ham, of course.
Yes,
so then it became this whole bit of dancing with the ham. It sounds so stupid in hindsight, but at the time it was fine.
It was so funny. And this commercial turned into like a bit. Then the next day, a Kid had me with hams on top of the limos in a parking lot. Come ride around with a ham.
Ride with Al's ham. We were giving away limo rides with Al's ham.
Yes.
Would that be the day you started, technically?
And Kid called me up after the show that day. He said, hey, have you ever thought about doing radio? And I said, no. He said, well, you want to try? I said, sure. So I started coming in 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And just for 2 or 3 hours.
And what would you do?
And I would just participate on the show, just talk like we're talking, but I wasn't getting paid. But I would get to advertise my limousine service.
Oh, you were an intern.
So somebody would call up. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Somebody would call up, and they'd say, I'm going out. I'm saying, well, did you call First Impression Limousine at 351-0610? And that is how I was compensated for coming in. And so eventually they started paying me like $100 a day, or I think it was $100 a day.
Well, you've done well for yourself, because now you get paid, and you get free plugs for your bar.
Yeah.
All the time.
So that is exactly how I got this job.
Did you give Kelly a ride in your limo?
I was on the limo bus.
From time to time.
We did the limo bus. We went to see Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Al ended up taking care of me that night. That was bad.
Is that the night he left you with the hot dog guy?
No, that was a different night. This was Bad Girls Night Out. Instead of Bad Girls Day Out, we did Bad Girls Night Out, and I was very bad.
Yeah. And I would give them free limousine service, and they would do a bit. One time, I kidnapped John Tesh. You know, that's how that whole thing came from. And we would just do little bits on the radio from time to time.
We used to have so much fun on the show, JC.
Oh, boy.
Now it's like, hey, Al, you guys want to go hang out after? No, we're tired.
Yeah.
Everybody's
tired. You should have caught us in our prime.
Yeah, we're tired.
And so this Friday, like Kelly was saying, we'll celebrate 20 years of me.
Of you.
Of me.
Man, I wish we could have the tape of the first time you were on the show.
That is long. Gone.
There's a reason we can't listen to old tapes.
We had a guy
that used to work here named RJ. His real name is Ryan. RJ.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened.
Poor guy.
He pressed one button and deleted everything.
RJ.
Well, first of all, are you sure, double check, are you really sure?
I don't know enough to know. I'm just so thankful it wasn't me.
Yeah. This was years ago.
And he was let go. Because everything.
He deleted the entire website.
I wonder what RJ's up to now.
He went on to work for other radio shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess he left that part off his resume. But it was devastating.
But every commercial. Yeah, because we had all of that.
Every show. Every bit.
My first show. Al's first show.
Crashed everything.
So it's not what's in the back storage that's like on tape somewhere that's labeled. That's more recent.
Yeah. Yeah,
that stuff is heartbreaking. It's sick, and when I think about it, it's just sickening. But oh well, yeah. Gone.
We have our buddy Travis Mills, Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. He's a quadruple amputee. He was serving our country, suffered these injuries, and now he's a motivational speaker. He's an author.
He's a great guy.
He's just an all-around great guy. He's going to join us in 1 hour. And coming up next, one of your favorite former SNL cast members made it back to SNL this weekend.
Really?
Yes. It was pretty good.
Okay.
We'll see if it was a hit or miss. Plus, a sneak peek at our producer Nick's interview with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. All the way out in New York City. That's coming up next.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Did I read correctly that Willow Smith surprise released her debut album on Friday?
Surprise!
That's a surprise, all right.
So Beyonce of her.
Isn't your debut album supposed to be the one that you probably do the most interviews and
promote
the hardest?
Nope.
Well, you know, she sees how much publicity other people who release their surprise albums get.
But they're Beyonce and Kanye's.
She's Willow.
She's got a point. She's Willow. She's Willow by the first name.
Name another.
Hey, we're talking. Another what? Willow? Willow.
I don't know another Willow.
There you go.
That's it.
I know a Willow.
Yeah?
Because I went up against her in Key West my senior year of college spring break in a wet t-shirt contest. Don't ever go against a girl named Willow.
No. In any type of...
Willow was a professional.
Yeah.
And I had to leave the stage. So that's the other Willow I know. She's doing big things now.
I had a feeling you beat this Willow in a wet t-shirt contest.
No, this Willow had a cup.
Willow's on the
My
phone.
Girlfriend
oh,
and
my.
I. And we were going to take it and just like, I didn't. Do not enter a wet t-shirt contest because it is more than just a wet t-shirt contest. Yeah. I did not know. That was my naive college self. My girlfriend had this rocking bod and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we'll just get up there and get wet, you know, and then we'll win all this money.
That's all it is, too.
I just thought we were going to get up there and be like, oh, water dance, Katie and Jenna from Miami University. Hey. Yeah, we had like our full like grade of college out there, like in the audience, and it was by applause. And I was like, are you guys going to stay here and cheer for us? Because it was like $3,000. I mean, $3,000 to some college kids.
That's a lot, yeah.
I mean, that was more than twice as much as what it costs for me to go on spring break, you know? And so I was like, this is great. We'll pay for the rest of spring break.
Yeah.
And then it was like, welcome to the stage, Katie and Jenna from Miami, Ohio.
Willow.
And then we like got wet and we're dancing around and people were cheering. And then it was like, Willow and Willow, like things got dirty real quick.
Oh, Willow.
Oh, Willow went all the way.
Willow's laying down on the stage. Some things were going on. I was like, what is going on?
Oh, no, nothing.
And then they're
good.
Like, Katie and Jenna from Miami, round two. And I was like, round two. And I'm like, how do I follow that? And then I look for Katie, my best girlfriend.
Gone.
I see Katie walking out the bar, out the front. And then I get booed. And then Willow ripped my t-shirt. Shirt down the front.
Oh, no.
As I tried to climb down off the stage, and I was like out of there so fast, getting booed the whole way out.
Oh, no.
I promise you, Willow
is
still on the stage.
That is the Willow I know.
She's still on the stage.
Willow didn't even go to a college, and Willow won the college wet t-shirt contest.
That's not fair, Jenna. Now it's time for Kelly Raspberry's wet t-shirt contest story.
My story.
Anyway,
that's the beginning, middle, and end right there.
Man, I hadn't remembered that in a while.
Yeah, that's a good story.
So yeah, there you go.
Thanks.
That's a lot of fun.
A little peek back.
Do you guys want to hear a little snippet from Willow Smith's new album?
Sure.
Yeah. You're so busy.
Let's see what it sounds
up.
Like. Yeah. Nice hair.
Pretty good.
I actually like it.
Yeah.
That's actually a good one. Wow, Willow.
She's grown up. How old is she?
Where did that accent come from?
I think it's an artist accent. You develop an artist accent when you live in Hollywood, I think.
Now, she did do Whip My Hair Back and Forth years ago, right?
This is
she's matured.
Leaps and Bounds better.
Yeah.
This is actually really good. What was that song called, Shannon? Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, that one's called Wait a Minute.
Wait a Minute.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I dig it.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth.
Thanks, Seth.
sure.
Chris Hemsworth was the host on SNL. And I feel like he just hosted like a few months ago. Like it was pretty recent that he hosted.
Was
okay?
it?
I don't remember.
Not this season, surely. They don't do repeats in the same.
Yeah, not this season, but I feel like last season he hosted.
He's been popular.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
He talked about how much he's grown up since the first time he hosted.
It was a while ago. In fact, I think we have a picture of that experience. Look at that.
There you go.
Oh my God, what is I wearing back then?
Same suit.
Such a kid back then. It's crazy seeing that photo. Wow. Now, what I got to say, I really feel at home here now. You know, I've been horsing around with the cast all week. Feels like I'm back in Australia, you know, roughhousing with my brothers and my dad. It's like I've been hanging out with a bunch of Hemsworths, you know? And in fact, we got one just over here. Pete, my man.
Pete Hemsworth.
What's up, buddy?
What up, man?
Let's go.
He hates it.
How's things, man? He loves it. High five. Wait.
Oh! Love, love.
Jules.
I don't! You do.
All right.
He's really likable.
Yeah.
I watched the episode.
It was good.
Well, I mean, they're not.
It was all right. It's good.
It was enjoyable.
Oh my gosh, that high pitch.
He's fine.
Like the guy lie.
He's nice to look at.
Well, our producer Nick got to go, right? He was there in the audience.
Yeah, Nick, come in here because Nick got to see the run through.
Yeah, the dress rehearsal. That's really cool.
I think that's better than
the
live
show. We have a cool
show.
Connection. Yeah. Someone that's a huge fan of the show that works, John.
Yeah.
He works on SNL and has for many years, so he hooks it up sometimes. And the dress rehearsal, you can see that. That starts at like 7 o'clock, and they do a run-through, cut some skits.
And then they go all the way.
And then the live show's live, but they do the dress rehearsal in case they need to throw something in.
And sometimes, at least with my experience, I watched the show we attended in person, and I thought it was hilarious. And then when you watch it on TV, not as strong. So was it that way for you, Nick?
When you're there, yeah.
Well, I haven't gone back and watched what actually aired because, like Jenna said, I did the dress rehearsal, so I haven't seen what actually aired. But you guys were right. In the theater, it was just kind of meh.
It was
entertaining. It was so cool to be there and see it.
Yeah.
The actual skits and stuff were all right.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris Hemsworth is that good looking in person.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you.
He's just. So tall, and I mean, ladies are just swooning over him the whole time.
You were kind of swooning a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Dude,
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
That's a good looking man. When even the men, straight men, like, man, that dude's a good looking dude. I mean, that's strong.
He's like a Greek god in real life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how about the surprise you got on this show, Nick?
Dude, I mean, going to see SNL was just like a dream of
coolest.
Mine.
Yeah.
But seeing their surprise guest be on SNL doing one of his most famous characters was like, I was just blown away. It was awesome.
Nick is speaking, of course, of Will Ferrell.
Who you'd already met?
Correct. I met him a day before. I interviewed him for him and Mark Wahlberg for his new movie, Daddy's Home.
Which I watched yesterday.
Uh-huh. And so that was cool. And then later in the day, I was thinking, oh,
he's in
New York. I wonder if he sticks around for SNL.
To go to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what
so,
an interesting thought you had.
Yeah. There were so many thoughts in my head, and finally it came out. SNL clicked.
Turns out you and Lorne Michaels have the same thought.
Dude, it was awesome. And so we're sitting there, and Will Ferrell opened the show as his character George Bush. And if you guys have been there, the band is there playing, like saxophone and stuff. It's playing. And then a minute before the show, dead silence.
Right.
No one's talking. Room gets dark, and there's just one guy over in the corner yelling out times. 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
30 seconds. And
I even get nervous, don't you? Like, you're sitting in the audience, you're like, I'm nervous.
And I can see the stage is set up for some sort of political skit.
That's normally how they open.
Yeah. And so at about 10 seconds, it's pitch black, and I see a tall guy wearing a suit
Jay Farrow as Obama.
Yeah, a tall guy in a suit walking from a door from behind the stage, and then they say, here's the 43rd president. And Will Ferrell walks out, lights go up.
And here is a clip from that.
This is an important day. I've made a big decision. I'm entering the race for president of the United States of America. The field of Republicans out there is so messed up, I figured it makes you miss me, doesn't it?
Yeah. George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Oh, Kanye, stop it.
He
was funny. He made some valid points.
That's funny.
That's why he would probably win.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so at this time tomorrow, you're going to hear my full interview with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And so I wanted to bring you guys just a little tease, a little snippet of it.
All right.
Okay. And in the movie, Will Ferrell plays a radio executive.
Yeah.
For like the number three most listened to jazz station in the nation. Something really, really weird. And so there's a really funny part in the movie where they're auditioning people to sing jingles for his radio station. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to ask Will and Mark if they would sing a jingle for our show, because we're always looking for new stuff.
Genius.
So it was kind of intimidating asking them to perform for me.
Yeah.
But I just said, hey, would you guys sing a little jingle? And they did, and this is what we got.
Okay.
Kid Craddock.
No,
in
Kid
the,
Craddock making operatic. Sing your opera.
Oh. Give me the setup again.
It's Kid Craddock, so make it operatic. Go, man, go.
Kid Craddock in the morning, please listen to our show.
Aww, so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
It was awesome.
Very
good thinking.
Yeah, it was great.
He should be a pretty good sport, too, yeah.
They were. I was a little worried about Mark because he's kind of intimidating stuff, but he was in a great mood, so it was really fun.
Mark Wahlberg, surprisingly goofy when you get him out of that show.
He's just an intimidating person, but he's really very nice.
He's really nice, and he can get goofy on you. Did you watch the movie?
I did. Movie's hilarious.
I watched it.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of, and it's funny, but it's not really, really dirty, which is how a lot of movies are. It's funny without being naughty, dirty.
Because it was PG, and then they just upped it to PG-13.
Maybe. I don't remember what it is. There's definitely some foul language, but it's not like dirty.
Yeah. So. It's you could take
not
the
like Willow and Spring Break dirty.
no, not like that, Jenna. No.
And pretty good message at the end. It actually is a comedy with a good message.
Good.
Yeah. So we'll hear Nick's interview tomorrow morning with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Very nice.
Well done, Nicholas. Glad you had fun. Glad you made it back. And coming up next, it's time for another Christmas wish.
Cool.
It's the season.
It is.
What do you do when your husband walks out and leaves you with the children and you have no idea why? Mm. And even more surprising is who actually wrote the letter for this recipient. You'll hear this Christmas wish coming up next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show. And now, another Kid Craddock Morning Show Christmas wish.
Hi, Aaron. How you doing this morning? This is JC with the Kid Craddock Morning Show. I got Kelly Raspberry, Big Al Mac, and Jenna Owens here with me.
What up, Aaron?
Hi.
It's okay. We promise it's going to be okay.
You will understand what is going on as soon as we read you a nice little letter, okay?
Somebody wrote us a letter. Is it okay if I read it to you?
Yeah.
I like the fact that you are very suspicious.
That's good.
Where are you at right now, Aaron?
I'm sitting in my bed.
Sitting in your bed? Yeah.
Okay. A good place to be. You might need to lie down.
Yeah, please lie down and sit down.
All right, here we go. I would like to nominate Aaron for a Christmas wish. Her husband recently left her without any warning, devastating her and her four very small children. She's a young mother and was such a devoted wife. Her and the children are so broken. They don't even talk about Christmas. They just cry for their daddy. They want him to come home. Their wish would be just to have him back, but since he's involved with someone else, I don't know when that will happen. They have no tree, no lights, no hope. Please bless this family. Their daddy is a good man, a very good man. I'm disappointed to say he is also my son. Children do not have choices in these situations, nor do they understand. I'm a special education teacher and a behavioral specialist. I deal with broken children daily, and I have for the most of my life. But when it's my own family, it's almost unbearable. I'm a longtime listener. Your show gives me a family feeling, just like sitting around the kitchen table. Thank you for this opportunity to sit at the table and share my precious daughter-in-law and four of my 14 grandchildren. That is from your mother-in-law, Karen.
That gave me goosebumps.
Isn't that something?
Aaron, Karen is on the phone right now. Hi.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
No. Karen, nobody our hearts break for you.
Yeah. Wow.
This is fairly new. Has this happened recently?
It's been five months.
Oh, Aaron's very, sorry. Very hopefully he has just gone temporarily insane and he will realize what he's done and that this family can be saved. But right now we got to get your family past Christmas.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were going to have one.
You are going to have
you
one.
You are. Rest assured.
Yeah, Karen's not going to let that happen, and we're not going to let that happen,
Karen?
Okay?
That was the moment in a letter when we were all reading it. We said, whoa, I mean, you're writing this about
your own son,
and obviously you love your daughter-in-law and grandchildren, but that has to be very difficult for you to see this happen with your son.
It absolutely is devastating. For it to happen with no warning, he still hasn't spoke to me.
So your son's too ashamed to talk to his mother.
Yeah, it probably hurts
him.
There's no
answers, and the unknown is what we're to deal with.
This is just a sad situation.
Yeah, it
is.
And there's so many
women who are listening to your story, and they are relating with these absentee fathers. So
I'm a victim of an absentee father. My father walked away.
Some days we're embarrassed to be guys, you know?
Yeah, it's
bad.
And unfortunately, a lot of men do this. Yeah. Aaron, and we want you to have a good Christmas.
Karen, thank you for sharing. I know this must be embarrassing for you to have to say, this is my son and look what he's done, but you're doing something really positive.
Okay, let's talk about your kid. So we're talking about Annabelle right here, who's 7 months old. What's wrong with Annabelle, Aaron?
She was born premature. She was born 5 weeks early.
Okay, so then you got a two-year-old, and that's Jonathan, right?
Yes.
Tell me about Jonathan. What's Jonathan into right now?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol! Go, go, go! I love that cartoon. And then you got a five-year-old. That's Trace.
Yes.
I'm going to go take a guess and say that Trace is probably into, like, Ninja Turtles.
Yes. And Spider-Man and Batman.
The superheroes and all that good stuff. Okay. Right. And then you got Alexis, 7 years old. What's Alexis into?
High heels.
You got yourself a sassy one, Aaron.
Kitty high heels, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. High heel.
And
all right.
And just the normal girly girl.
Have to watch out for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, she's already sassy. We like that. Okay, so there's no Christmas tree, no Christmas lights right now. Aaron, what we're going to do is we're going to give you some cash. And you take that cash and you spend it however you deem necessary to make this Christmas happen. So if you want to go get the Christmas tree, if you want to get the Christmas lights, if you want to hire Big Al Mac to put up your Christmas lights.
JC, why don't we do this? We'll give her $300 in cash.
Yes.
But then to help with the Christmas decorations, you know, we're working with At Home.
Yeah.
And they have they're the Christmas supply store
right now.
Yeah. Yes, so Aaron, they decorated our studio and they will hook you up with all kinds of decorations.
So we'll give you a $200 gift card to At Home and then you can use the $300 for other things.
Even better, huh?
But you guys, what about the toys?
We're going to give you $300, and you and all four kids are going to walk into Toys R Us, and you go crazy and buy whatever you got to buy, Aaron.
Oh, my gosh. I'm fighting my baby, too, at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
It's all right.
We understand.
Okay, we want Christmas presents under those Christmas trees, and we want to see those big smiles when they receive their presents.
Or maybe Karen can watch the kids and you can go to the toy store and get all the
surprises.
Karen, can you babysit?
Yeah.
All right.
Good deal.
Okay.
Well, I know it's a tough time for your family, Aaron, but we really are going to be praying for you and thinking about your kids. And hopefully the family situation will get back on track and he'll come back home.
Aaron, you are so incredibly special to me. I cannot describe it with words. She's my best friend.
Oh, that's such a sweet. You know, here, how many people are listening and like
and hate their mother-in-law?
Yeah, they love each other.
Right.
Aaron and Karen, I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for writing this letter, Karen.
Thank you so much for blessing her.
Oh, no. Aaron, and you stay strong, okay? Aaron, you got to be strong for those little ones, okay?
Yes, and thank you all very much.
Christmas wishes really do come true on the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, your troubles will be miles away. Gather near to us once months and more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang on.
Holidays from the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
All right, we have a very special guest in the studio, you guys.
Who's that? Who's that?
We've had him in studio before. He's a retired United States Army Staff Sergeant of the 82nd Airborne. He's a motivational speaker, an actor, an author, an advocate for veterans and amputees. He's also a model now, if you look at his book.
Gosh, you've done a lot.
Yeah.
I know. Just in the last 5 days, it's been crazy. I write that myself.
Do
so
you really?
Sounds good.
His name is Travis Mills, not the rapper.
Yeah, Travis.
Not the rapper.
He's not even that good compared to me.
No, he's really not. You're the first Travis Mills that pops up when you Google Travis Mills.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Rob Dyrdek messed me over on the ridiculousness, but I'm getting myself back up there past him. Because Rob Dyrdek had him on. Let's not get into it. Let's get into it.
I'm curious. Are you buddies with him?
No. That's the thing. Rob Dyrdek had the other
Travis Mills.
And then my Google ability went down. Climbing back up with the release of this book and what we have going on. So
okay, just so happens when I was flipping through the book and looking at your great pictures from your past, I saw a story about Rob Dyrdek in there.
I just want to meet him.
Rob Dyrdek?
I think it would be awesome to hang out with Rob Dyrdek.
He seems mean.
Mean?
Mm. No, he seems fun.
Mean? I'm not sure if you've watched any of his shows. I just feel like me and him would hang out, and I would love to be on Ridiculousness or Fantasy Factory. I don't know. I think he's fun. Maybe not. You're right.
Well, maybe we can make that happen. I think Rob Dyrdek, he looks like he's a nice dude, like he's just a fun skater guy. He goes over the top from time to time, but
I'm too old to watch MTV, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he has that show that's just a bunch of people getting injured doing stupid stuff.
That's stupid.
No, it's yes.
It is stupid, but it's fun.
But it's just basically America's Funniest Home Videos.
I was going to say, that's what came to my mind
it's
when
the
you
same,
said this.
You know?
Because a guy getting hit in the jewels every week, you know.
I mean, how many ways can that happen? Apparently,
a lot.
So many ways.
Did you see the Pittsburgh game the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah. Antonio Brown jumped into the pole
intentionally.
Full on.
And then
he got
a penalty flag, right?
And he got penalized for it.
Yeah. You can't do that.
That's like the Bears guy that was celebrating and tore his ACL and dropped for the season. Genius.
Don't celebrate. Do not celebrate.
That's what I was doing. I was celebrating. And
limbs.
Travis is one of five quadruple amputees from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you survived your injuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other guy. Well, there's one of five that survived. The other ones, I don't think count.
Well, they. Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if we can put
dark
that.
Dark humor.
Is that yeah? Like, what do you call a guy with no arms, no legs on the wall?
What?
Art in the ocean. Bob standing in front of you, Travis. Yeah. So.
As you can tell, Travis has a great sense of humor.
He does. I guess you kind of have to.
I just made that one up the other night. I'm gonna stick with it.
The first time I met Travis and I went to shake his hand, he started spinning it around and going, "Dang it, you broke it." And I'm sitting there feeling awful about it. But no, you're a practical joker. You like to play jokes on people.
I like to disarm people when they meet me.
And then they feel comfortable talking to me. You enjoy making people very awkward, though.
Yeah, my wife made me a shirt. And I was actually FaceTiming with Katie. Norris did the documentary, and they were dancing behind me holding the shirt up. I guess I was being awkward. And it has a Superman logo. Take the S out, put the A in it. On the back says Awkward Man. I do like making things awkward.
Well, when you make things awkward, it makes things actually less awkward as a result, right? Because sometimes people don't know how do you talk to somebody who has no arms and no legs without,
I get asked, people say, how should I address you? What should I say? I'm like, I don't know. Usually when I meet someone, I say hi.
It's not that big of a deal, but you're making it awkward kind of makes it less awkward, if that makes
sense.
And
I don't get offended. People want to stare. That's fine. I mean, I would. I mean, I get it. I look different. Like, I walk by people and they're like, what did I just? I did. But he caught me. Oh, no.
It's okay.
Like, I don't want him to know I looked. I'm going to look at the ceiling. I got to see that train wreck one more time. We got. Oh, my goodness. He caught me again.
Before we started the show, Travis was going like, I'm like a real-life Mr. Potato Head.
Literally. Holiday season's not been good to me. I'm a little bit rounder in the waist. I look like a potato. And then you take my arms off and my legs off. Basically, Mr. Potato Head. I'm working on it. I do CrossFit. If you guys are watching at home, maybe you can see the pec. I can still
ooh,
get it.
But, oh, yeah. Look at you flexing the pecs.
But, you know, I still work out and do CrossFit. But I need to work on that whole cardio and the whole eating right. Apparently, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I heard that's a big deal.
Yeah. 80% what you eat is what I've heard.
Yeah. So Philly cheese sticks, which should be all protein, they're not as good.
How do you do some of the CrossFit, like the hang cleans and stuff like that I can barely do?
I do adaptive CrossFit. Okay. So, like, I don't hang up there. I just, pick stuff up and put it down.
Okay. You push sleds.
I got to pull them. But, yeah. I do running. Yeah. Actually, the Wall Street Journal just did an article a couple of days ago that came out, and it was in the personal. They had a big spread of me working out, actually.
Really?
Yeah. With my shirt off. Just kidding. It was.
I was going to go look at it if your shirt was
Why
off.
Why did you not go shirtless on the book?
Oh, I have a sweater underneath that no one sees. It's okay. It's okay. Moving on.
Speaking of the workouts, we had a kids this year. We have a charity where we take terminally and chronically ill children to Disney World with their families.
Catastrophically.
I'm familiar, absolutely.
And we had this little boy named Memphis, mm-hmm, who is
a
quadruple amputee. And I was talking to his dad, and I was like, once you get to know Memphis, he reminds me a lot of you. He's just a goofball, and he jokes around. Yeah. And I was like, you have to meet my friend Travis. And so we set it up where you guys are going to work out in a couple days.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Adaptive Training Center. Yeah. With David Vivora, who you guys might be familiar with, and doing great things there. And luckily, he was my trainer and started this nonprofit. And we're able to go in, and he changed a lot of lives. And I'm looking forward to meeting Memphis and seeing what he can do. And
his dad is not easy on him either.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. He's like, come on, let's go. And he gets up in his wheelchair by himself. He didn't bring his prosthetic legs on the kids trip because he said it was too much work.
He's taking a vacation. Yeah. Disney World was a vacation from his prosthetic.
Yeah,
right.
You will love his mentality, though. It's so true because at such a young age, I mean, he is one of those that he's like, he wants to do everything on his own.
He's
and
a
his dad
nervous.
Treats him that way. I mean, he doesn't want, Alan JC are so great, and they always help the families, you know, carrying the kids off the airplane but onto their wheelchair. Nope. He goes down on his own.
Yep.
Downstairs. Wow. Yeah.
So basically,
it's impressive.
His dad's my wife. Not
See, Al and I had to carry Travis out of Al's bar, but that was a different story.
It wasn't even a year ago we had you on to talk about your movie,
Travis,
A Soldier Story. And now you've got the book, Tough As They Come. How is that different from what we saw in the movie?
Oh, it's way more in-depth. The movie's great. For the flyby, it was shot in just, you know, GI Film Festival Award winner. And out of 55 short films, we beat everybody because we're winners. I forgot to tell your audience, there's a couple things about me. One, I'm awesome. Two, I'm humble, in that order. No, I'm just joking. I tell crowds that.
Seriously, stand up.
No, the book is more in-depth. It was about 8 months of, you know, revisions and writing and with a collaborative author. But it has my wife's journal entries, what she was going through during all this. It has step-by-step in detail exactly what happened. I mean, I touch on a lot of things in the documentary, but I didn't really get down into all the pain and how excruciating it was and when I wanted to quit and give up myself and then just trying to fight back, and it takes step by step. And, you know, this isn't just for people in the military, and it's not just for people through traumatic injuries. There's people that have read it and have been loving it, and, you know, it's a great Christmas present, but you can really get it, read it, see if it fits for anybody in your life that you can pass it along to. And I want the story to get out there, and I want people to know, like, to never give up, never quit. And that just because life gets hard doesn't mean you have to ever give up. Just push through.
Well, you bounce back in a miraculous way. I mean, just hearing this out of your lips, if you say you were down and didn't want to go on, you wanted to quit, and now you're this guy, do you ever see that guy anymore? Is he gone?
No, honestly, I'm so thankful to have my wife and my daughter. When I got to the hospital on the 17th of April, my wife, the first thing that I said to her wasn't that hallmark, like, oh, I love you, I miss you so much. It was sign the paper, because she had to sign paper for me to get my right leg cut down 2 more inches. And I was bleeding out, surgery ripped open. And then on April 18th, the day after, I actually told her, I said, look, you don't have to go through with this. I don't really have much self-worth. I can't do anything for you. I'll keep paying the bills, but take the house, the cars, the money, and I will fund you financially as best I can with whatever you and Chloe need, but go find somebody to be happy.
Mm. And she said
and
no.
She's, well, I think she, boy, she wanted to hit me, but she doesn't do that. So she was just really frustrated. And she's like, that's not at all how this works, Travis. I'm like, well, I can't do anything.
It's for better or for worse.
Yeah. And I went from 250 pounds to 140 pounds. So my wife's a true hero here. And my little girl, I thought she was going to think I was a monster. I had PICC lines right on my neck. I had arms cut off, bandages, wound vac machines hooked up. Things stuck all over my chest and my body. Mm. And she's on my chest looking at me, and she's, you know, 6 months old, and she's just grabbing my nose, and I can't fend her off. And, and she's giggling and laughing, and I don't look like a monster like I think I look like. Yeah. And, you know,
Daddy.
Once I realized I was going to be that little girl's father, and my wife was going to stay with me, and I just had to be the husband that I was supposed to be, I just said, okay, well, let's find out how to get
That's
better.
That's beautiful, man.
And honestly, the easiest thing to do would be to quit, and nobody would have judged you for it, you know, because yeah. you were serving our country, and you something horrific
you,
happened
you had
to
had
you.
A bad day.
But... I mean, most of us would give up.
Yeah.
But for you to stand up and do what you do now, be a motivational speaker in the movies and the book, man, that speaks volumes.
Let me ask you a question. Last time you were here, you touched on a center that I think you were building in Maine. But yep. you couldn't say a lot about it because the deal hadn't closed or something.
Absolutely. I can tell you about the foundation. I just couldn't tell you about the property. But we did close on a property. It's okay. the Elizabeth Arden, who was a cosmetic pioneer, started the Red Door Spas yep. and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was her property. She built in 1929 in Maine. And we were able to actually buy the property. Mm-hmm. And now we're under massive renovations. It's a $2.7 million project just wow. to get it off the ground running for the first 5 years.
Wow. What will it do?
And then it's going to be able to bring in men and women in my situation mm-hmm. that are critically wounded, or were critically wounded, there I go again, but and their families, and bring them all up and show them that there's a network of people like them. They don't have to feel alone. They can always reach out and talk to us. But we show them how to take skills home with them. We show them how to do adaptive kayaking, canoeing, boating, swimming, fishing.
Wow.
We give them a vacation with healing and with just amazing network of people to call and talk to and to go through things with, because it wasn't just me going through it. So I made sure that families are going to be involved. My wife and I run it. We don't take a dime. We're never going to pay ourselves. And all of our financials are online.
Yeah.
Because it's not about me and my wife getting paid. You know, it's about giving back. And we've
sure.
had two proof of concept, been really great. And now if you look at the property, you're like, what are they doing? But we had to fix the foundation, so we decided to just put a full basement in. So it's on a beautiful lot up in Maine. Across the road is the lake. We own a cottage down by it as well. And we're well on our way, but we're still looking for funding, and there's going to be, you know, naming opportunities
yeah.
for corporate donors and things like that. But
it's the Travis Mills Foundation. Mm-hmm. So far, you guys have raised almost $700,000.
Yep.
But you said you need $2.7 million.
Well, it's
that's the goal.
$2.7 million is the goal to get it up and going and running by 2017 with 5 years of programming and what we want to achieve. And
okay.
it's everything's online at travismills.org, and we're definitely excited about this project, and
cool.
it's something I'm real passionate about.
And we can hire you to be a motivational speaker too. Like you can
absolutely. I speak. I had a really nice Veterans Day. I was at the Reagan Library, the Nixon Library.
Yeah.
The day before that, I was at the Microsoft Corporation in Seattle, Washington. And I just got off the road from Phoenix. I'm on the road doing this quite a bit. So all the information, travismills.org. I'm never that guy that comes in and says, you think you have problems? Look at me. Because that's not how I look at myself. I'm just like, hey, check it out. We all have our problems. Mm-hmm. And in the book, actually, the author's note, I wouldn't sign off for the book to be done until they said what I wanted to say. And basically, it was just, you know, if you serve, thank you for your service. I don't think I did any more than anybody else. I just had a rough day at work. I raised my right hand and volunteered. So, you know, thanks for your service and what you've done for your country. And if, you know, you have someone that you support in the military, thank you for that. And the next thing was, my problems are no more than anybody else's. So mm-hmm. I don't want people to think like, oh boy, look how bad he has it. You know, and I'm, you know, we all have our own problems we go through. And I'm just trying to show people what my problems were, my struggles, and how I got through them. And it really has a Forrest Gump notebook,
yeah.
Saving Private Ryan
yeah.
or American Sniper feel with
there
all the
you
action.
Go. There's yeah. my question.
What's okay, Kelly.
Because, you know, now your book's out and here comes Hollywood knocking.
Okay.
Option in the rights.
Oh,
for the
Travis.
Movie. Obviously, Bradley Cooper's off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already got Chris Cox.
Yeah. You in the movie.
You know, I don't know. Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights, maybe, but he was already, you know who that is? You guys watch
Yeah,
Friday
I know
Night
who
I'm
Tim
sorry,
Riggins
I
is.
Tim,
not.
I can't remember his last name
yeah.
right now, but
yeah.
I know, if you did you meet him? I know Vibora met him.
Yeah, I've met him.
But, you know, he would be great because
I
he's
see.
A heartthrob.
I have it
but,
just based on your personality.
Sure.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that's been thrown out there, but they wonder how they can make him look, or if there was an option, how they could make him look 19. If they did like the earlier,
well, they do so much with CGI and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
They made freaking Michael Douglas look 40.
And I'll be honest with Chris Pratt, when he did the video he uploaded, you know, him and Anna Faris have a child, and they were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. He was teaching his young son. I think it was son, right? How to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, awesome. Just awesome.
He's a good guy. And who's your wife want to play her? You know she's dreaming about
actually,
it.
Actually, if the, is it Chris Hemsworth? The Thor?
Yeah.
If he plays me, she's going to play herself. He told me.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I don't want anyone to play me. I want to play with one of those guys.
Acting lessons starting now.
Travis was telling us when he was blown up, because Al comes over here with his finger wound, of
Dude,
course.
We have so much in common.
He has a scratch. No.
Exactly.
I cut my finger the other day.
Yeah.
If you look here really closely, you can see where I cut my finger.
You might need a squint.
He's telling this to Travis.
I can't believe you took the bandage off.
Yeah.
And Travis, man, I feel your pain.
You almost fainted, I heard.
The real hero here is Al, obviously, Travis.
Yeah.
And Travis goes, I didn't even pass out when I got blown up.
Let's see. They had to knock me out in my movie.
On the operating table. But you know, it's funny because the pocket knife that he cut himself with couldn't even cut the cord that was hanging from the ceiling.
I have very sensitive skin, Travis.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Al, it looked way worse all bandaged up.
You should write a book.
I know. Yeah, I'll figure out who's going to play me in the movie.
Denzel, obviously.
Oh, totally going to be. Or Jamie Foxx.
Nailed it.
He's totally going to do it.
Yeah.
The book is called Tough as They Come by Travis Mills. I'm going to read it for sure, man.
Out now.
It's out now. Where can we buy it? Barnes & Noble,
Everywhere.
Any bookstore.
Amazon.
Oh, and Lieutenant Dan with the foreword.
That's Garrison.
He's such a great supporter of
the team.
He is.
Great guy.
Yeah. He really is.
I'm glad I can say he's a friend of mine. And him. And there's also another guy on there on the back you might recognize.
Troy Aikman.
Oh, hello.
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman wrote a blurb, and then
and freaking Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Yeah, and Mike
Rowe. He's
awesome. He's a great boy.
Yeah, he's done a lot of great things for me and supporting me, and a lot of he made a post on Veterans Day when the book came out, but really great group of guys that we were fortunate to have write blurbs in the back. And you know, thankful to still be around and tell my story.
Travis,
so
better throw in Forrest Gump then in your favorite war movie since Gary Sinise is such a
Well, it definitely, I said that the book's light. I mean, it's basically a love story wrapped up with how goofy. I mean, the first time that I actually met former President Bush, I said, I'm so nervous right now I could pee. And I didn't realize that Forrest Gump, President Bush. He's like, come on in, Big T. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous I could pee right now, sir. And he's like, bathroom's around back. I'm like, no, I don't have to. I'm just saying I could. this just got awkward. Can I sit down? And my buddy, like 2 days later, told me I Forrest Gumped him.
Good story.
Love it.
Follow him on Twitter if you want to keep up with him. And again, what's the website for your foundation, Travis?
Everything's at travismills.org. We made it easy, and all emails are answered. Right. So please just, you know, send your support, your love. All hate mail just gets deleted, so you save yourself a ton. I'm just kidding.
Send it to Al.
Just like last time, me and you karaoke. Let's go.
There it is.
There you go.
Right. I'm a Barbie.
We're not doing Barbie Girl this time, Travis.
I'm thinking Titanium because it just fits who I am. You know.
Yeah, that song's a jam. Too.
I heard you're gonna audition for The Voice.
Yeah, that's possibly. A joke. I just I don't want them to pick me, but I think it'd be funny if I sang Titanium and they didn't, and then they saw me. Because I'm literally made of carbon and titanium. But that's just my...
And they'd feel terrible.
And I'm just like, oh, thanks. That's all I thought I had left to do in this world was sing, and apparently I can't even do that. Thanks, Blake. And then I'm just like, buy my book. And, you know, it's all marketing.
Oh, that's Staff Sergeant Travis Mills right there. You follow him on Twitter, Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, and go to his website and check out his foundation. Travis, man, pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, and by the way, join us on Wednesday. We're going to tell you all about what Travis taught one of our kids, Memphis, about fitness and working out as a quadruple amputee. It's really cool.
Yes.
Oh, he works out with him.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Travis Mills, everybody.
Hey.
Not the rapper.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.